You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. You are my sunshine.
Voyager, man. Voyager. It's like Star Trek fans, it's like our Vietnam. Like, it's our greatest shame, and we're like, why? Why did we do that? But, I don't know, what if I'm like an old, I don't want to call myself a Gen Xer, but like, what if I'm like the old man of Star Trek, and I'm like, these kids and their Voyager sucks. It's not cool like my Deep Space Nine. It's like, well, Deep Space Nine had an episode. Oh, Ballard's here. Say hi, Ballard.
Hey, Ballard.
Hey,
Asterios. Thank you for having me as a guest.
Deep Space Nine had an episode where Quark had to dress up like a lady.
I wish I had seen more of Deep Space Nine.
That's okay. I'm just telling you right now.
That sounds great.
It was real bad. It was really bad. It was like real sexist and like... they did like Tootsie, but in space with Quark, where he has to dress up like a lady, and he's talking like, "Oh, I'm a Ferengi, fresh."
Was it all a gambit for gold?
Gold press Latinum.
Yeah,
gold press Latinum.
I feel like you can't have any Quark storyline without that being central. Is there anything else? Like, was it just booze or gold press Latinum?
No,
like, I feel like that's all.
Booze is how he gets his Latinum.
Should we discuss at all that it seems like it's not even a remotely veiled reference to him just being Jewish?
No, what? What? No, here's what I like about Deep Space Nine, Ballard. They were like, ooh, if we put the Ferengi in, people might think that we're making fun of Jews. So let's put in super Jews, the Bajorans.
that's a good point.
Because
good
the Bajorans
point.
Are literally fighting space Nazis. Like, the Cardassians are literal space Nazis. And Major Kira is, like, literally, like, a cool Israeli lady who's, like, in the resistance. And then that way, like, the anti-Semitism of Ferengi just it sails through the background.
I feel like if I discuss any more of this, it's just going to be worse for both of us.
That's all right. Well, look, we're not here to talk about Deep Space Nine. We're here to talk about... Wait, I was introducing it. Voyager. Two friends of mine. They're very smart. Very smart people. My friends Josie and Marley. And they're like, you know, Voyager's not bad. You should give it another shot. And then I'm also watching...
Sold it well, too.
They sold it so well.
We'll get to this more, but I haven't watched much of Voyager.
Yes.
And they got me really excited to see it.
Exactly.
They sold it really well.
And
I get that, like, not every show is going to have a lot of winners in there, but
no.
They were like, no, look, there's some gems, and we shouldn't write off the whole show, and they did a great job.
Well, I think they said more than that. I think they like it. Something they said that I agreed with, they were like, well, the first season of TNG is terrible. And I'm like, yeah.
Yes, agreed.
And they're like, a lot of the second season's bad too. I'm like, you're right. Like, any episode where they have that line on their uniform.
Yes, yeah, you can tell. You're like, okay, yeah it's going to be fine now.
If Riker don't have a beard, then things are going to get weird. That's the rumor. I mean, that's the line that we Trekkies say. Things are going to, and weird meaning bad in this kit. Nah, we don't say that. I'm lying. But what was I going to say? Hey, yeah. And look, there's bad episodes of Deep Space Nine, too. Quark dressing up like a lady. They're all playing baseball in the holodeck against...
There's a lot of baseball episodes of DS9.
There's a lot of baseball episodes of Deep Space Nine. And it's kind of like, okay. I mean, but I'm not hanging out... It's always weird when they do that, where they're like, ah, he's obsessed with this ancient 20th century game. It's like, I'm not playing stick and hoop every day. Like, that's 200 years ago for us. I'm not riding around on a big bike with one big wheel going like, I love the old-timey shit.
But you're only not doing that because you live further south in Brooklyn.
I do, actually.
If you go a little north, that's still in play right now.
Okay, wait. We're way off topic, Ballard. Voyager, man. Voyager. So I'm doing this show called Voyagerges, and it's the voyages of watching Voyager. Voyagerges. And Ballard is my first Voyagerges. You're coming with me on my Voyagerges. On my voyages through Voyager. Voyagerges. I feel like I've justified the title. Ballard, what are we watching today?
I believe the episode is called Threshold. I realize when you're asking me this, I did not do enough prep in my head to know the season and the episode.
Yeah, whatever.
That's fine. So you, I'm honored to be the first guest here on Voyager Jizz. I don't exactly know why I got asked, other than
you know Star Trek.
I know
and
Star
you're
Trek,
my
like,
friend.
A little. That's nice.
I
a little bit.
You think I want to hate Ballard? Let me interrupt you for a second to compliment you. Shut up, Ballard. Shut up and take my gun. You think I want to hang out on a Monday with like some jagoff?
Yeah, I do. I've listened to some of your other shows.
No. I mean, look.
You just described Waifu Wars.
Sometimes, but that, okay, but I'm laughing at them, not with you.
No,
like,
that's true.
I want to see Ballard. I'm doing an episode of Voyager.
You're right. This is just, we're justifying why you're killing two birds with one stone. Yeah. I'm not here as an expert on Voyager. I'm here as a fellow Voyager jizzer.
Exactly. And look. It's like, I'm too old to fucking make new friends. I'm not going
to
do it.
No, you're not. That's fine. Yeah, it's different. Totally different. You are old enough to still make friends, but you don't have to. It's fine. I don't know why I took the bait on Strike Your Ego on this one.
You did take the bait on that. I was wondering. I was like, Ballard's taking the bait.
There's no reason I need to do that. Okay.
A couple of days, I'm doing an episode with Ashley. And it's like...
These are people we know. She'll do great on this.
I know.
She's watched way more Star Trek than I have. I've said this to other people. Like, I'm a fan of Star Trek. I love the universe. I like hanging in there. Yeah. I don't call myself a Trekkie, mostly because I feel like I'm not adept enough to be a Trekkie. Like, these guys take themselves seriously. I'm a dilettante Trek fan,
yeah.
But I enjoy the universe. I will say, like, this is similar to me. Like, I don't call myself a brony.
Yeah.
But I quite enjoy Friendship is My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic,
yeah.
And I can appreciate the show, and I see where they're coming from, is what I'm saying.
I feel like you're worried that people are going to judge you.
For being a Trekkie? No, I feel like Trekkies are going to judge
that's
you for
what
not...
The,
yes,
that's what I mean.
Very
I feel
much.
Like you're afraid that nerds are going to judge you.
Yes, I am, very much wow. So. The internet is terrifying. I know all about your lawsuit. This is completely justified fear in my head. So,
yeah, you're right.
So you invited me on.
It's savage, Ballard. The internet is savage. You're right not to... Because at first I was going to be like, if you know Star Trek, call yourself a Trekkie. No, you're right.
Nope.
You actually convinced me.
I happily stepped into a hornet's nest, and I'm just going to roll with it. And so I feel good that you and I were talking, and you were like, yeah, I mean, I haven't seen much Voyager. I hear there's this one really shitty episode where they turn into lizards. That's what we're watching today.
His body is going through some sort of mutation. His DNA is rewriting itself. To what end, I don't know. It's possible that Mr. Paris represents a future stage in human development. Although I can't say it's very attractive.
Okay, tell people about this episode.
Okay, so this is your quick primer. Do we need to explain people even with what is going to happen with what the hell they're listening to?
I don't get it.
That's fine. All right, I re-watched this recently. I remember when Voyager came out.
Yeah.
I only watched a little bit of it. You and I were just talking off mic about how we both remember watching... the pilot for Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
I remember when Voyager came in the air, but I don't really remember watching it. Like, it kind of came on sporadically. So it's weird that you asked me, like, do you have any episodes that are memorable? And I said, like, yeah, I had this one for two particular images from the episode. And it turns out when you and I were talking, this is one of the more infamous episodes as, what the fuck was that episode? That's the one that, it stuck in my brain for similar reasons. All right, so Lieutenant Paris?
Okay.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Lieutenant Paris? Okay.
Tom Paris.
Okay, so the premise of this, and it already is like someone who knows a little bit about Star Trek, is very thrown for the premise. Okay, so the idea is that they're going to try to break warp 10.
We're trying to break the maximum warp barrier. Nothing in the universe can go warp 10. It's a theoretical impossibility. In principle, if you were ever to reach warp 10, you'd be traveling at infinite velocity. Infinite velocity? Got it. So that means very fast.
That's literally where the story starts. And as we all know from at least the original series movies, it's like, well, you break warp 10, you go back in time, and there. But anyway,
or that, something shitty.
Or something.
Happened.
Well,
it's dangerous, man.
Well, and so, as applicable now. So it starts with should it, play by play or quick summary.
Either one.
All right.
Because look, I want to know what why
my
you
experience.
Pick. I care about you. I could talk to Rick Okuda if I wanted to know about all of... I care about you.
All right. So, Lieutenant Paris... It is Lieutenant?
Yeah.
I'm going to keep asking because I really don't know.
Lieutenant Tom Paris.
Lieutenant Tom Paris. They're going to try to break Warp 10.
Okay.
Episode starts He's in a shuttlecraft. They're trying to break it. The ship's going to break up, and then it's revealed it all was a test on the holodeck.
Nice.
They're still trying to figure out how to crack this thing. They can't really figure it out. They're having a whole lot of trouble. Eventually, they figure it out. The simulation works. They get approval to go test it out. There's a little bit of debate about whether he is fit to actually be the one to operate the shuttlecraft.
He checked over your biometric readings from the shuttle simulations. He says you have a slight enzymatic imbalance in your cerebellum.
So?
I know it doesn't sound like much, but he can't predict what'll happen when you cross the threshold.
And Janeway's put for somebody else, and he demands it's like, this is his, he owns it. I can't remember how he makes the case beyond that, but somehow they convince him.
This is my flight.
Your flight.
When I was a boy, my father used to tell me that I was special. That one day I'd do something significant. My teachers at school, all the kids, everyone used to say, Tom Paris is going to do something important when he grows up. Obviously, that didn't happen.
This isn't about personal redemption. We're talking about medical risk. Your life could be in danger, and we need you.
Captain, this is the first time in 10 years I feel I have a life to risk. Please. Please let me make the flight.
Good luck, Lieutenant.
He gets to do the test. He goes to warp 10. It's successful. He wakes up in sick bay, I think. They're checking him out. He seems okay. He starts getting sick. They rush him back to sick bay. Apparently it's done something and his system's mutating. He's growing other organs. Yes. At some point he dies.
Okay.
Then somehow he comes back to life.
You're alive. All of your internal organs are functioning again. In fact, you seem to have an extra one.
What?
You have two hearts.
The doctor tries some tests on him where they're basically going to zap him with something to try to, like, basically he's got mutations and some new DNA is taken over his system, and they're going to try to reset his original DNA. It doesn't work. He keeps mutating more and more, and now it gets to his body's physically, like, starting to fall apart. They've got him kind of quarantined, and the image that stuck with me is it progresses and it gets worse and worse, and he's talking about him with mortality, and at one point he's, like, kind of, like, coughing and choking, and, like, his, like, ears and skin are falling off, and this is the image that stuck with me that I remember, because I was like, what the fuck? It, like, really scared me as a kid. He's, like, coughing, and then he rips his own tongue out of his mouth.
In a syndicated sci-fi show for kids.
Yep. And he rips his tongue out.
You know, Tom Paris is the funny guy, right, Ballard?
I don't know that.
He's the funny guy.
He seems like very, like,
Devil May Care.
No. Well, he seems like,
Happy-go-lucky. He's a criminal.
Oh, is that part of the setup?
Who was
that he's
put,
like,
in jail.
They talk about that a little bit. I think he and Janeway talk about that.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
In the pilot to Voyager, which I watched other day. Like, Janeway's
like
I've got to spring you from jail. Really, I do. Because it's just Katherine Hepburn. And just get used to it. Because that's all she does is just Katherine Hepburn. Like, even Mrs. Columbo's like, I've got to solve this murder. Really, I do. And so she goes to, like, a Starfleet penal colony.
And cracks him out? It's a prison break episode?
Well, it's like she commutes his sentence.
All
she's
right,
like,
yeah,
she's
yeah.
like... I hear you're the only man who can fly a ship well in our whole fleet, in all of the fleet, including alien races and planets.
I'm leaving on a mission to find a Maquis ship that disappeared in the Badlands a week ago.
I wouldn't if I were you.
Really?
I've never seen a Federation starship that could maneuver through the plasma storms.
You've never seen Voyager.
He rips his tongue out. It keeps going a little bit. At some point, he kidnaps Janeway,
Like King Kong would?
I don't even remember exactly why or how, but he grabs Janeway, splits off to another shuttle, goes back out, takes off to kind of escape. They lose him for a little bit and then find that the shuttlecraft, like, goes to a planet. Oh, and the whole time they're talking about that, like, it seems like his DNA is evolving into a future version of what, like, humans might evolve to. My big problem with this is that's not how evolution works. Evolution is based on environmental constraints. Like, this is why you have birds on different islands, and if there's slightly different climate or different trees, people develop different attributes.
It's not adaptation.
It's not like evolution is just like one continuous line. You can't just like, oh, they're evolving really fast. If they were, then they would probably evolve to like be perfect for sick bay because those are the conditions they're in. Like,
yes!
I don't like this premise that like evolution is some future like state of humans that they're getting to ahead of time. That's not how evolution works.
You're right.
I have a problem with that.
Punctuated equilibrium model.
Exactly?
Yes!
Okay. The worst part is, okay, so they Janeway and Paris go off, they track them, and this is like very close to the end of the episode. Okay. They beam down, they locate what they think are them, but by this time, they've now both mutated fully into lizards.
Right.
They're like kind of like salamander style lizards. Here's where it gets crazy to me from a story standpoint. If not at this point, but right now it starts to finally get crazy, is that they've turned into lizards. They've already had sex and had babies. So there are new babies that are on
face.
This planet. Mouth agape, eyes real big, a little terrified, perhaps, is your face?
These main characters have sex?
Off camera.
Oh, but
yes.
Still,
yes.
Imagine if it was like Captain Picard and Troy had
yep.
sex. It's and like, that's a big deal.
They had sex as
and
lizards.
Had babies.
And had babies, and the babies, like, basically they find our lizard characters, like, on the edge of a swamp, and then they see their offspring. Like, the now human Starfleet officers see the offspring go into this, like, pond on this planet.
Primordial ooze.
And they basically are like, all right, we're going to take Janeway and Paris back. They're now fully lizards, but we're going to leave the offspring here.
I don't know how I'm going to enter this into the log. I look forward to reading it. First Officer's Log Supplemental. We've transported the Captain and Mr. Paris back to sickbay. As for their offspring, I've decided to leave them in their new habitat.
It's almost like now they're deciding that we're going to deal with the Prime Directive. It's like, we can't interfere, so we're just going to leave this offspring here on the planet and just let it do its duty. And here's where it gets crazy to me. Finally, I mean, that part's pretty crazy, but this is the worst part. We're in, like, the very end of the episode now, and Janeway and Paris are back to normal. And it's never explained how or why. And they kind of have a brief little conversation where they acknowledge the fact that they had sex.
And had children.
And had children. And Janeway makes a little quip about, like, who said that you were the one that, like, maybe, decided it was a good idea, implying that maybe it was her idea in this state to have sex with him?
Captain, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say, except I don't remember very much about, you know.
What makes you think it was your idea? Sometimes it's the female of a species that initiates mating.
I really want to watch this episode. We're going to stop tape. I'm going to watch Threshold. The worst episode of Voyager and the first episode.
As far as you know.
As far as I know! You're right!
This is the start
you're
of the
right.
journey. I think you should have
you're
a totally different
right.
angle to this show. Because
okay.
Marley and Josie were basically like, hey, but like they literally start with the premise, Voyager ain't that bad. Here's some cool episodes to check out. You and I could easily find that in a Google search instantaneously and work our way through a great experience of Voyager. I think you need to hunt down only the worst. And like have a reversed version of that. You need to work your way from Voyager from the bottom to the top.
Look, I'll tell you right now, the premise of this show was originally this. I would talk to huge Voyager fans. They would tell me what their favorite Voyager episode was, and I would tell them if they were right or wrong. I can't find any I'm not kidding, Ballard. I can't find any huge Voyager fans that I actually want to talk to for an hour. Because they're all, you know, they're Voyager fans. Anyway, enough! Let's watch Threshold!
Fasten your seatbelts.
Warp 7. Warp 8.
For the wildest ride.
This could get us home.
In Star Trek history.
Warp 9.9. 9.95.
But be warned.
Warp 10.
Nobody's ever broken this barrier before.
Oh my God.
And there's a reason why.
I can't find him.
A terrifying reason why.
No!
Star Trek Voyager.
Ballard. That was... It really lived up to its reputation as, like, the worst.
It's a good refresher. I mean, it's a weird... The biggest thing for me is, is the huge amount of body horror. I mean,
yes.
We can... I had criticisms about the story structure, but just as an episode that I want to be about breaking the transport barrier, that seems really cool.
Yes.
And it just turns into a very Cronenberg-y, incredibly gross body horror episode.
When he pulls out his tongue... That's like a no fooling tongue rip, man. I figured they were gonna like do a thing where he starts to pull on it. They cut away to a horrified doctor or Kess, and they pull back and like he's holding his tongue, and it's like no, you see the tongue separate from its tongue base.
Yeah, they hold that shot, and he pulls a full size tongue out of his mouth, and then creepily smiles about it, like he's satisfied.
Yes, because he's like, I've evolved past the need for this vestigial garbage tongue.
Watching you watch that tongue pull was as satisfying as me rewatching the episode.
Oh, my God. Okay, I think I figured out how to fix it. I think I know what's wrong with this episode. I mean, there's a lot wrong with it.
You have my attention.
Okay, first off, Tom Paris should have stolen the shuttle. And gone to warp 10. Because the thing is, and it should be this thing where, like, the captain's like, don't do this. No one's gone past warp 10, and you might die. And he's like, you got it, Captain. Anything for you. And then in the middle of the night, he steals it, and they're like, what are you doing, Tom Paris? And he's like, no, this is my glory, my victory. And then he disappears. Because the thing is, in this episode, they run simulations to go to warp 10. It's all kind of safe.
Torres to bridge. The pre-launch sequence is complete, Captain.
Acknowledged. Ensign Kim, depressurize the shuttle bay and open the space doors.
Aye, Captain.
Bridge to shuttlecraft Cochran. You're cleared for launch.
Well, this should be Icarus flying too close
yeah.
to the sun. But it's not. It's like a guy flying at an appropriate amount from the sun. Like, under the dutiful watch of, like, other scientists or what, of, like, Icarus Jr. and Icarus Sr. and the Icarus Foundation. And then he still gets punished by being turned into an alien. Okay, Tom Paris gets turned into an inhuman. That should be a punishment for transgressing humanity.
He's transhuman. He's future human.
He's more human than human.
He's more human than human.
Right.
In a weird way, and that's another the flip side of it. Either it's you take it as a cautionary tale of if you break the rules, you can lose your humanity or
right.
be taken over by nature, which is kind of weirdly enough kind of the plot of a lot of like Michael Crichton stories.
Yeah.
The idea that like, hey, you fuck around with nature. It's
and nature
gonna,
fucks with you.
Yeah, there you go. Whereas and it kind of took that bent. But in a weird way, you get him to the next level of human evolution, which, again, is its own terrible problem because that's not how evolution works. But then they just reject it. Like, they reject looking at the offspring. They literally like, well, you are the next thing of human evolution. Let's not look into that or let you do it. We'll just make you human again. Like,
yes.
They just reverse it. And also, I mean, I had criticism that, like, they just kind of wrap it up and not really know how they do it. And watching it again, it rose to the doctors being like, well, I was right the first time. You just didn't let me do it a third time. Like, I was right with my plan to hit him with anti-protons. You just didn't let me. I didn't get a chance to do the third one would have worked.
What do we do about it?
I think my anti-proton approach was correct. However, I'll need to intensify the treatment to restore his original DNA.
somehow the third time he's like, well, yeah, my theory is right. It's totally going to work. And then it does. Like, there's not a lot of core of, like, should we be messing with science? And it's very muddled.
The first half of this episode is like a Wright Brothers kind of flight of fantasy. But then there's a medical procedural in the middle.
Yep.
Where they're like, Kes thinks they should try this. Should they try this? Radiation, oxygen. Then it becomes a monster movie.
Janeway to Bridge, report.
Paris broke out of confinement in engineering. He used a phaser on the port plasma conduit. We have power failures all over the ship.
Where is he now?
We're having trouble tracking him. We can't get power to the internal sensors. Tuvok has security teams searching deck by deck.
And very fast, too.
Yes.
We were talking very briefly, turning the mics back on, that it really is like, all right, put him in the little cubby and shoot him with anti-protons, and then he escapes and some phasers fire and all defenses on the ship go down and he kidnaps the captain and steals his ship in 90 seconds.
Yes, and it was just, like, I remember in the run-up to this, I was like, what is it, like fucking King Kong? Like, no, it's exactly like King Kong. Like, he knocks out Captain Janeway and takes her. He literally sneaks up behind her, knocks her out, carries her to a ship.
I will say, there's a part of me that wishes that was, like, if we're talking classic three-act structure,
yes.
I kind of wish that was the third act. Because that happens, like a ton of, again, we're talking about, what we're suggesting is not necessarily Star Trek. Because a chunk of it is, like, a procedural, but a really big part. And then him breaking out and kidnapping her, in other media, that would have been half the movie.
Oh,
like,
my gosh,
like, that's
yes.
Alien.
Yes!
Or a whole lot of 80s movies where, like, I think about Leviathan, which was underwater, or The Thing is kind of like that.
Yes.
Like, there's a lot where it's we don't exactly know what's happening, we're investigating it. Oh my god, it's a monster, it's out, and it being out and just taking people down is huge chunk.
Yes! And if they want to do that, I don't mind that in Star Trek, because it's kind of like, you know, it's not Paris's fault that he's gone crazy, become a monster.
Yeah.
So, like, that's fine, but it's like...
And they played a little bit in the idea of him going crazy, which
yes.
was cool, but there were no repercussions of that other than to him.
Right, that's the... If you're going to have... If you could... Look, you can tell a story where a Starfleet officer becomes monstrified and is loose on the ship and is hunting people one by one, but then you don't need this Warp 10 thing. Just have him go down to a planet... eat the wrong berry, and become a monster. And then just have the whole episode be like, we got to find him now. He's here. We've set a trap, but he set a trap for us. Just have the whole thing be Predator or whatever.
That'd be really fun. That does sound an enjoyable episode.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say even marry that a little bit with the idea of him. If you marry the idea of him being transhuman, or in a way of getting, it would be a fun game to have him get smarter.
Yes.
Like, whatever mutation is happening, so that he's beating all of their traps.
Yes, exactly. And then you could do a thing where it's him versus Tuvok. Because Tuvok's the security chief. He's got Vulcan logic. Tuvok's, like, the smartest guy in the ship. But then he's outwitting Tuvok, and Tuvok's outwitting him, and it becomes a game of wits between them. Like, that's fine. That's a fine episode of Star Trek, man. You also could have done this. Tom Paris gets exposed to Tetrion radiation on a planet, and he thinks he's dying. And so he writes a letter to his dad, because in this episode, he delivers, like, every actor's dream, which is a dying monologue.
Yeah.
You're losing me, aren't you? I'm gonna die.
You're too stubborn to die, Mr. Paris.
Here lies Thomas Eugene Paris, beloved mutant.
Fitting epitaph, but I don't intend to let you use it just yet. Begin with 45 rads per second.
Great. Now it'll read, beloved radioactive mutant.
I'm going to try inhibiting the cell mitosis with a biosuppressor field.
Big funeral. Lots of pretty girls all crying. Except Taurus. Taurus doesn't cry. Do you ever notice that? I don't trust people who don't cry. Of course, my father. He'd say crying is a sign of weakness. I never believed that. Do you cry?
It's not in my program.
It's a pretty crazy backstory speech to also put in a Star Trek episode. If we're talking about these being family shows, that he's like, my favorite parts of my childhood were crying in my room alone, and
I lost my virginity in that room.
That's where I lost my virginity.
Yes.
Pretty bonkers thing to put into a Saturday afternoon speech.
The question of this episode is like, can we break warp 10? Put aside the fact that like everybody's done it. Like put that aside. Put aside the fact that like Scotty went to warp 15. Like okay, put that aside. When you go to warp 10, you become a monster man, right? That's what happens. That's what this episode tells us.
All right. I'll follow.
Why can't they just get like one kamikaze pilot to go at warp 10 to go home and be like, Voyager's in the Delta Quadrant, like. If the price of going,
yep, I'm with you. If the price of getting to warp 10 and going back home is turning, honestly, here's the, you said the problem that we still have with it is that if like, well, you turn into a monster. No, the whole arc is you turn into a future better version of humanity that is unusual and we're not familiar with. But right. If that's we're jumping through millions of years of evolution to become a better version of humanity, like that's the future version of humanity we want to. Accelerate progress, why don't we just keep jumping to warp 10? That seems great. Or at the very least, we've got Paris and Janeway. What can we learn about them? Why aren't we studying this? Why aren't we figuring out that the idea, again, like we just figured out how to make people human again. Great, let's start sending to warp 10 and then hitting them with anti-protons immediately upon them coming back.
I was going to say that thing. It's like, well, we have a laser that fixes this.
We totally figured out how to solve it.
At the end of this episode, there are no consequences for going to warp 10 because we have
a
laser that fixes it. We have a shuttle that can do it.
And if anything, I'm going to point out that if you really dive down, the takeaway really is if you go to warp 10, you will get laid.
Yeah, and you'll get the family you've been craving, Tom Paris, because Tom Paris is like, my dad hated me. Blah, blah. I was in my dad told me never to cry. I hate my dad. Well, now you're a dad, Tom Paris. You can correct the mistakes of the past.
Nope. Walked away.
Nope.
Go back
away.
To being humor.
They ditched their kids on a planet. They ditched their kids on a planet. Well, guys, is there what you want to say anything else?
No, that's a great way to go out.
Yeah, that's been Voyager Jizz, the first episode of Voyager Jizz. I want to thank Ballard C. Boyd, one of my oldest friends. Very funny man. For coming on. Ballard, would you care to plug your Twitter or plug anything?
Love to. Anybody can find something about me at Ballard C. Boyd on the interwebs and ballardcboyd.com to see some of my directing work or sign up on a mailing list to get fun videos.
Yeah, this guy's a really goddamn good director. You should join his mailing list because every once in a while you just get something funny in your inbox as opposed to something terrible. Anyway, like I get medical bills. Anyway, my name's Asterios.
Voyager Jizz.
Voyager Jizz. I'm Asterios Kokonos. Thank you for joining me on Voyager Jizz. And if you're a Patreon follower, you're hearing this 4 days before everybody else. So thank you so much. If you're not a Patreon follower, just for a buck, you can subscribe. You get episodes early. You get bonus episodes at patreon.com/stereos. Thank you guys so much for listening. Energize!
My sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.